I've aptly entitled my message today, The Conformers. The Conformers, you'll see what I mean as we go along. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Oh, people, this old Scrooge is about to destroy your fun at the games. At the games. You're sitting in the bleachers at a major sporting event. Well, might be baseball or hockey or track or Grand Prix wrestling, I don't know, or numerous other sporting events. Stop and think for a moment. Why are you there? Why? Well, to enjoy the fun, right? To enjoy the games. You may be surprised at the number of answers you can get. Huh? No, it's not for the thrill you enjoy. It's not for the thrill you enjoy. Could it be for the deep, deep-seated desire you have to be a part of the action? Is that it? Is that why you're there? A part of the team to share in the glory. Ah, isn't that why you spent your kids' allowance and wasted a big chunk of your vacation money you were planning for the family? Isn't it? Huh? Oh, well, you only live once, at least upon this earth, huh? Guy's got to do what a guy's got to do. Have a little fun, huh? And there ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Or is there? Or is there? As long as you can convince yourself what you're doing is in some way pleasing to God and is quite normal for a Christian to take part in, and everybody else, because everybody else is doing it too, and God approves, right? Does he? May I say, sheep follow sheep, cattle follow cattle, and goats follow goats. It's a natural thing to do, isn't it? And when your team scores the winning run or goal, is it not normal for you to jump up and yell and do the wave? And what about when the beer guy comes around? And is it not normal for a Christian to buy a beer? I mean, why be different? What harm is in a beer? And when the excitement really gets out of hand and the air begins to turn a bit blue, what then? What then? You can't move the seats you bought. You did so in advance and you're stuck right in the middle of the beer spiller section. And there's blasphemers all around you. Oh, no glory to God there, is there? So, could it be you're maybe not the Christian you thought you were? Or worse still, you're not a Christian at all. What does the Word of God say about attending such events that God can't bear to look upon himself? You think God's a great baseball fan, or a wrestler fan, or a Grand Prix fan, or a mudslinging fan? How about this abomination from 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 17? Let's go to the Bible and read it, make sure we get it right. 2 Corinthians 2. Chapter 2. Well, let's see. No, it's in chapter 6. Chapter 6, 14 to 17. Or 14 to 16. Let's read it anyway and see what we get. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, we've got to read verse 17, right? Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will receive you. Come out from among them, he says. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. Now, before you begin calling me a hypocrite and all kinds of other things that I used to be, and throwing rocks and sticks at me if I was within reach, I did not write those words. Have you got that? I did not write those words. I did not give out any personal ultimatums. None. None whatsoever. I also struggle with such things as the Lord commands of me. Wherefore come out from among them. Among who? From the unequally yoked, the unbelievers. I ask you, are 50,000 screaming fans at a sporting event all believers in Christ? Are they? I don't think so. What about you? Are you a believer? A real Christian believer? Well, if so, then what communion hath light with darkness? Are they not all around you? Does every sports stadium have a hallelujah section where there's no booze, no cussing? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? None. None at all. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. Oh, none. Have you read the Christian conduct section in Romans 12, verse 2? The Christian conduct section? Well, I'll read it for you. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh. I want you to know right now, I did not write those words. I didn't. Don't shoot the messenger. Take it up with God. Take it up with God. Be angry with me if you need to be. I too have partaken of such worldly events. If I hadn't been there, then I wouldn't know what I was talking about, would I? You've all heard the scripture from the book of Amos. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Let's do it again. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can they? Until we are silly. That was silly of me, wasn't it? Until we are seated fully in the heavenlies, we will not totally agree on every issue set before us, will we? Because we all have our little ins and outs, our byways, don't we? Even the godly need some wiggle room, else the word of God would be of none effect. We cannot do right until we know what wrong is. Isn't that right? Or is that wrong? We must understand, it's not so much the game that's wrong, it's the presence of God's children blending in with the devil's lot. Sheep should never mingle with wolves. Sheep should never mingle with wolves. When I started preparing this message, I had a fight with God. Did you know that? Yeah, I did. I told him I'd be scorned and laughed upon, even called a religious nut. I've heard it said, I'm there, but I don't even listen to their ungodly chatter. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Oh, yeah, I was there, but I wasn't listening to them cursing God. I went down to see the gay pride parade, but I didn't even look at their silly, colorful, stupid flags, and I didn't even stand beside somebody who was half naked. I was just there looking at it. Really? Well, bully for you. That's what I heard it said. You probably heard that too, haven't you? I believe that wherever we are is whatever we are. Have you got that? I believe wherever we are is whatever we are. You know, the funny thing is, I was just sitting at work one night and God spoke to my heart. He said, do a sermon on conformity. Do a sermon on conformity. There are too many of my people walking around like chickens, trying to decide if they should cross the road or not. If they should cross the road to the side of the Savior. Oh, in their heart, many of them have acknowledged who Christ is. The devil acknowledges who Christ is. And some have even pledged their allegiance to him. But they have not repented. They have not made that important, pivotal. I always trip over my bottom lip when I try to get that word, or I should have used a different word, I guess. Anyway, I always trip over my lip. They have not made that important move and thrown themselves at the foot of the cross. They argue big swelling words. They say they die for Christ. They die for Christ while they live for the devil. They died for Christ while they live for the devil. I don't know. I have trouble with that one, don't you? Yeah. Are they truly saved? That's the question. Maybe. Maybe not. The Bible says we'll know them by their fruits. And we're not talking about apples and oranges here. Oh, no. But, by the way, they live for Christ. When they're at church, huh? I mean, I know people who read their Bible and go to church regularly, never cuss, are good to their neighbors. But when they try to hold a biblical chat, or you try to hold one with them, all you get from them is, well, I know I'm saved. I know that much. Duh. I know I'm saved. Oh, yeah. Or do we have to talk about God all the time? Can't we do anything without having to get God or Jesus into the conversation? Well, yeah. Yeah, he got to be in everything. Because he helped us decide if we're doing the right thing, right? Sure. Then there are those who swear by the cross. They're born again. They've repented and believed in the gospel. They're born again. But they go to movies. Movies not approved by the Holy Spirit. They play adult board games. Adult board games. Even have a beer with the guys and the gals. One beer ain't gonna do no harm, is it? No, of course not. Did you hear about the guy whose neighbor wanted him to view an X-rated movie? Ooh. He said he couldn't because he was a Christian. He couldn't because he was a Christian. But the film contained some of his favorite movie actors. So the neighbor said he would have the movie edited so all the offensive language would be taken out. In other words, he would have it bleeped. Bleeped. The Christian guy was excited and planned to show the cleaned up movie to his whole family. Yeah. This was a good Christian family. They weren't 5 minutes into the movie while the popcorn was still too hot to eat. But what came out of the mouths of the actors was a lot hotter than the popcorn. Apparently, the neighbor had decided to play a practical joke on his friendly neighbor. There are two things we should observe here. Two things. One is, if it walks like a duck. And secondly, not all who call themselves a Christian are a Christian. I call my sermon conformity because, well, until we, the true children of God, are called home to be with the Lord, we will continue to be weakened, to be gullible, to be coerced and tempted by the ungodliness of our surroundings. Though we can't lose our salvation, we can lose our effectiveness in serving God if we're truly saved. Something else that makes God sick is seeing his children falsifying his holy name through misrepresentation. If they should cross the road, if they should cross the road to the side of the Savior. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Should all cross the road to the side of the Savior. Who are we? Conformers? The conformers? How about a trend benders? Trend benders. Whatever trend we bend. Remember the era of sideburns back in the Elvis days? You will if you're my age. Sideburns and blue suede shoes. Then along came long hair. It seemed that everyone who had hair wanted to conform. Not so they would be different, but so they wouldn't be different. Why is it that Christians bend with the trend? Why? Is it so we will fit in? Or are we afraid to be otherwise? Can we be of the world and of Christ too? What does this do to come out from among them and be ye separate? And then we come to the bearded ones. You've seen the bearded ones are everywhere you look. Well, some of them are almost bearded. They just can't seem to grow one. Anyway, the bearded ones, this may hurt a wee bit, but not everyone looks good with a beard. Is it a sin to grow a beard? No, not that I know of. Is it a sin to grow a beard because it's the in thing to do? And you do want to fit in, don't you? Be ye not conformed to the world. What do you do with that, Mr. Christian? Huh? What do you do with that? Be ye not conformed with the world. Oh, I got it.
Well, Jesus had a beard.
Whoopee. Well, if that's your reason, my friend, then grow away. Grow away. But somehow I don't think that's the reason you grow your beard. You know what conformity does to Christians? It questions their faith. And when Christians' faith is questioned, nobody believes what they say. Ever go to a rock concert? Was Jesus there? Or was it another kind of rock you were thinking about? Is Jesus the rock of your salvation? Or have you been born again into a silly dance craze? People, we've got to ask ourselves some serious questions concerning who we are, what we are. Then there's the clothes we wear. Ever hear of the word modesty? It seems our most difficult transition is from ungodliness to godliness. I'm not talking about the poor and cast down. No, I'm not talking about them. For example, our walk and our talk. Before I was saved, I had this secret yen to walk like John Wayne. Tough and ready for anything. Or pout like James Dean. But I never had a desire to kiss and make up with one of my own sex. Much less marry them. God didn't make you that way. He made us to conform to Him. To Him. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Over in Romans 8:29, we read, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. So right about now, some of you might like to strangle me. Well, stand in line. But before you do, there's another word that goes side by side with conformity. It's the word discernment. You see, if you're thinking about conforming with the things of the world, then you had better consider a little discernment too. Before you decide whether you or your children may conform with the things of the world, you should be more discerning about what God's Word has to say. There. Right about now you're saying, this is ridiculous. I mean, a guy can't even take his family to a sporting event without sinning against God. Oh, well, I have a big bag of stones in the car. Would you like them? No. On the contrary, observe the sporting events you want, all you want, right in the comfort of your own home, where you will not hear the Lord's name being blasphemed. You won't get to drop a beer or spill it on somebody's head. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them. Among whom? Those who mock. Those who blaspheme and spit in the eye of our blessed Savior. Think of it this way. In the age we live in, we have a new invention called television. on which the whole world can be observed. You can be right there among the action from the comfort of your own home, but no, you need to be rubbing shoulders with the enemies of God. Why? For the excitement of hearing someone say, "Kill the umpire!" Oh, in the eyes of God, it's not so much where we are, but why we are, and where we are, and with whom we are. Enemies of the cross. Hey, I like playing golf. I like watching golf. When I'm playing golf, and the guy I'm playing with takes the Lord's name in vain, then I will make it known not to do so. I will tell him I'm a born-again Christian and even try to give him the gospel. I guarantee you, he will know who my caddy is. He will know who my caddy is. I've played a lot of golf alone with Jesus. And when I'm playing golf or any game with Jesus, this is one thing you can be sure of. We get along just fine. And sometimes he even lets me win. You see, folks, it's not so much the sport as it is the sportsman or the sportswoman. By the way, when you think about it, watching by way of TV, well, it may not be so bad after all. Verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Well, I could read all 12, but I don't have time. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I thank you for listening. Don't be mad at me now, will you? I'll be praying for you. God bless.